All right, you guys ready? Am I the Jerk 1310 at gmail.com is where you send those submissions. Thursdays at 10:50, we do it every single week. Update, van still in the garage.
Damn sure is.
It's not going anywhere.
Never will.
It's going to be there forever.
Not to mention the fact they won't be able to afford to take it out when they decide to.
I think we could just say that it's been abandoned at this point. Whoever's racking up that bill probably doesn't care.
I would say if I owned it, I would get it towed because it'd be cheaper to get it out of the impound than to get it out of that damn garage.
That's what they're waiting on. They're waiting
like
on
someone
us.
Please tow it.
Please.
So I can pay $250 instead of the thousands of dollars that's owed out of this garage.
Probably true.
A family to pick up in that van.
I know. All right, here we go.
Yes.
What's going on, P1s? What's I was up? A manager at a marketing company that recently shut down. I recently saw a job posting looking to hire 5 people for a similar role and immediately applied. I texted one of the people I used to manage and told him to send me his resume so I could forward it to the hiring manager. When I opened up his resume, I realized almost all of it was made up. He basically put in his resume that he was my manager at our previous job and listed all of the tasks and things that my boss did as his responsibilities.
Uh-oh.
I ended up not sending his resume because it looked better than mine and I was afraid he would get one of the 5 spots over me. When my ex-coworker asked for an update, I told him they were no longer accepting applications. Am I the jerk for not submitting my ex-coworker's made-up resume?
No!
Hell no.
Why would you be the jerk for lying blatantly for somebody to get a job? I mean, that's just...
It's pretty ballsy on that person's part to send, like, hey, send me your resume. I'm going to get you a job as your former boss. I'm going to help get you a job. And then they send you that resume. And on that resume, it says, yeah, I told this guy right here how it's done every single day.
But why wouldn't you just submit it your own self? Why through that person? Like, if you're going to do that on a resume and just kind of fabricate what you've done, so, I wouldn't just forward it to because I guess the expectation of would you just blindly send it along? Hey, man, forward me your resume and I'll just send it along
it
with
must
mine.
Be
okay,
that.
Here you go.
That is shocking.
My theory is that this guy's got a couple of different resumes that he's working with. He's got the ones for people that he knows that he works with, and then he's got the trumped up one, and he accidentally sent the trumped up
let's
one.
Let's just kind of realistically think. Who doesn't lie on a resume?
No, everybody.
Really?
Everybody.
I would think, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
You fabricate something.
Yeah,
you're just lying about the whole entire thing. But there are some things that if it's required that you know that, you'll say, oh, yeah, I know how to do that.
Yeah,
so you can get the job
people.
And I'll teach you right.
I trained one person or something like that. Yeah.
So I think everyone fabricates a bit.
But you don't move your position up in the company that you left.
Yeah, and I don't probably...
Like I was the manager of this place when he wasn't.
That's
crazy. Incredible.
Well, good luck on your job hunt.
Yeah, but then not to even send it out and say, hey, man, yeah, no, not accepting applications, my bad.
Like, what are you going to do? Be like, hey, I actually looked at this resume and seems kind of inaccurate considering I was your boss.
Yeah, that seems kind of weird also.
It's wild to like...
I think I would say something. I'd be like, dude, what are you doing?
I would say something. I would have to be like, hey, I think you might have sent me the wrong resume.
Because
you sent me my resume.
Yeah,
right.
It looks like you had my job, which was weird because I remember it the complete opposite. That's wild.
That is wild, man. That is...
I think
you
this
are
guy
not
has...
a jerk.
He's got a couple of resumes that he's working with because like, how does that happen?
I'm just... stunned that you would invent positions.
That's awesome.
That's like, could you imagine a doctor applying for a hospital like, oh, I see this brain surgeon. Oh, of course. And all he'd ever done was primary care.
I think that's a little different.
Is it?
I would think so.
What if this is for a manager spot and he's never managed anybody?
See on your resume, bone doctor for 3.5 years. I don't know if that's an official position.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant bone brother.
Oh.
As I'm scrubbing into surgery. That's what I'm putting on my resume.
It's like somebody who watches.
You got your headphones
on. God, dude.
I'm scrubbing in for surgery. It says bone doctor. I meant bone brother. Scalpel.
That's on me.
My bad.
I'll wear
bone
that one.
Bone doctor.
All right. Bring in the anesthesia.
All right, hello, invasion. So I came out of work and I see a truck parked so close to my car, I can't get in the driver's door. I'm not perfectly centered in my spot.
Been there.
So Donovan rode into his own self.
I hear you, brother.
I can definitely understand that. But well within the lines, after climbing through the passenger side over the manual shifter, I'm so pissed off that I slammed my driver's door open into the truck, leaving a 12-inch long, 3-inch deep dent in the truck's door. We all know he is a jerk, but am I also the jerk for dating his
100%
truck?
You're a jerk, but high five.
100%. Well, then you're doing a little damage to your car also.
You know
is
what?
That worth it?
But it's on the edge of the door, which is almost not visible.
If you're willing to sacrifice your car that way, I applaud you. Sometimes people need lessons in life, and unfortunately for him, it cost him a dent.
We've all wanted to do that and just swing your door open. And if you were driving in a car that wasn't that nice, probably have pulled that move.
Yes, I have.
But we've been over this a bunch of times. Two jerks don't make a non-jerk.
It doesn't make it... You should probably just be like, hopefully that guy does it better. Yeah, but I totally get
you're
it.
You're a real jerk.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Justified jerking. Hey, guys.
Okay. I've never had to climb in through the passenger side to go over to the driver's side. I try to get as small as I can.
And I try to make sure, like, I'll elbow the other car.
But I'm not touching the other car.
No.
Like, I wouldn't want, even if I'm not doing it on purpose. Like, it doesn't matter. Okay, I get it. That if I'm in a hurry and I just park and I need to get out, it's still wrong for me to do that. But the result shouldn't be.
You gotta be aware.
A huge dent in my car. Yeah, I don't know.
Right, it shouldn't
be. I'm conflicted on this because.
I also would like to do that, but it's not cool. It's not the right thing to do.
No, correct. It isn't. I agree. It's two jerks.
Definitely.
Who's the bigger jerk, though?
The guy who parked where the other dude could not get into his car.
I have to disagree with that.
Yeah. So it's cool.
Like, retribution
no, it's
not cool. Is not
cool. I think that he's the bigger jerk. If you're not allowing somebody, like, it's one thing to park close enough. That guy couldn't open the door to get in his own car and had to go in through the passenger. That's ridiculous.
But it's bad.
I'm agreeing with you on that.
He should have sarin gas sprayed his handle. Look at me.
See, that's an overreaction.
See? So the dent, in hindsight,
not that bad. Okay, but since you put it like that, I never thought about that.
He could have serial killed you. Instead, he just left you.
That's ridiculous. Serial killed
you. But they
put
a dent in his car. Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense. See? I just never even put two and two together like that. Man.
I don't know
if I'm going to ever come along the side of your thinking, but I get it. Right. I get it.
The mental math makes sense.
Okay.
I did something right.
This one is a bit lengthy, but we can get through it. They fly this airline, this particular airline, okay?
Okay.
Company pays for his travel, so he usually ends up with a good spot. He was in a very good spot this time. When they lined up for boarding, there was a husband-wife couple in front of him. Assumed they were somewhere between a little bit after them. He didn't care. While they were waiting, saw their tickets and noticed that they were in back of the first boarding group and not at the very front. Still didn't bother me. I thought they may have flown this airline before and that was an honest mistake. When they started the business select boarding, they didn't move. I asked if they were going to board. They say, no, we're good. So I went around them to scan my boarding pass. The only people in business select section was me, another guy, and a couple in front of me. He's 6'5", he weighs 240, so he always goes to the exit row seat with no seat in front of him. He got the seat. When he sat down, he realized that the couple was right behind him and got the other exit row seat, basically cutting in front of 50 other people to get that particular seat. There was other big people on the flight, I'm sorry. And the fact that they didn't go when I asked if they were going to board lets me know that they knew exactly what they were doing. I realize this teeters on first world problems, but is what they did sorry? Or am I overreacting? As I'm writing, they are across the aisle from me. I want to tell them that I'm trying to put them before the I am the jerk judge.
Yeah, they're jerks.
Huge jerks.
Man, I'm always looking at that and seeing what the number is. And I don't say any. If it's...
I do. I go, oh, hey, you guys are 15... back here.
Man, if you're within 5, like, it's really not that big
a deal.
Like,
if you're in the little window, but if you're, say, it says
I'm three and I looked at the person next to me and it says 47, I'll go, hey, I'm like, three and 47.
I think if your boarding group has an A or even early B, it truly doesn't matter. You're basically going to get the seat you want unless it's the exit row seat.
Yeah.
Now, those are premium, but I'm an aisle seat guy, and if it's anything mid B, I feel like I'm fine. I'm going to get one, whether it's in the front or the back or the middle. I don't care.
I also think the gate agent who scans in should say, oh, I'm sorry, you guys just stand here for a second.
It should be on them, not the crowd around you.
But they have so much other stuff going on. Do they really care that A31 is going in front of A20?
Some do. They just willy-nilly line up and first person in line can get it. There's a reason the numbers are assigned.
That's true.
The reason the numbers are
there. And let's keep in mind, a lot of the times you are paying extra to try to get early. And now I've paid where I'm still in B.
Right. And if you're, I have too. And now if you're in, now I think it really comes into play when the B, C, D boarding group.
Yeah, yes. If I paid, I'm looking at numbers.
Oh, yeah. I'm anti-line jump and I will.
I don't like that.
No problem saying
it. It drives me insane. So if you're in line, it's that easy.
And you're let's say A31. And then you look in front, and that person is A34. Are you saying something?
Oh, no. But I'm saying if it's, cause we're in the same five little cluster, which is fine.
So once outside of the five cluster, that's when you say something.
Although sometimes I have done that. Sometimes I go, oh, I'm actually in front of you.
Yeah. And that's all I would do is because, like, you see my number? It's ahead of you. So I'm just going to pop in front
now,
of you.
If I'm not,
I would do that.
If I'm not flying alone, then it doesn't matter as long as we can sit together, but if I'm flying alone, I try to do exactly what that guy's doing. And I try to get exit row every time. And that's finite. And so then, yeah, I'm trying to get ahead of everybody so I can get the exit row.
And then the people, so them saying, oh, no, we're not going in. They know they just got caught. Right. So they're waiting until the next person that doesn't notice them.
And I tried that once because I was like, do they actually pay attention at the gate? Like if I'm C, can I just get in with A? And I think I tried to go B to A once. And the gate agent goes, sir, we're boarding A. I was like, thank you. I was like, so you do pay attention.
Okay.
Confirmed.
See, I don't like the exit row because I always have a backpack with me and you can't have it in front of you underneath the seat. You have to put it up. And I'm the one that goes into my backpack 5, 6, 7 times a flight. So I want it with me. So I never sit in the exit row.
I don't have a big preference on where I sit.
I have to have a seat in front of me so I can put the bag in front of me.
Yeah. I just want to like get where I'm going and sit down. It really doesn't matter where on the plane I'm at. I just want to get on the plane and get settled.
I'm starting not to really mind the middle.
What?
It's not so
bad. If that's the case, then that's where you can sit anywhere. You can, if your goal is to get the hell off the flight when it lands, then that middle second row seat is way better than the aisle seat in the back of the plane.
Yeah.
Cause I just need to get the hell off of here. And I guess it's according to how long the flight is also.
And as used to be a larger man, as I did too, and the smaller I get, the more I don't care about the middle seat. It's fine. It does not bother me.
I can't do middle seat unless it's two hot chicks on each side. Well, cause then you're like, yes.
Then nothing's going to happen. You're going to have headphones on. They're going to have headphones on.
Man,
and
I don't
don't care. They don't care about you.
I've seen some videos where things happen.
So you're not going to have a threesome in aisle 14, all right?
No, of course not. You go to the lavatory.
It's 11:10. It's the world's most dangerous midday show. Am I the jerk for another week? Am I the jerk? 1310 at gmail.com is where you send those submissions. Children?